Welcome to the Cardinals Red Sea Report.
Deep pass, right side, end zone, it's caught!
Presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you.
It's a touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald!
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown by John Brown. It's intercepted by Peterson in midfield.
Oh, baby!
And the Cardinals are going to win the game.
How's that feel?
Here's Craig Grealoux, the Jetstream Roy Green, and Bertrand Barry.
Some good, some not so good. About what you would expect in the preseason opener as we come to you live from University of Phoenix Stadium, the Cardinals Red Sea Report presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. Our home away from home here on the west side during training camp as the Cardinals coming up this Saturday will have their home opener in the preseason, welcoming the Raiders. 7 p.m. is the kickoff, 3:30 pregame here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network. But the Hall of Fame game is where we discuss things first and foremost. Yeah, lost 20-18, but Bertrand Barry, Roy Green, I guess just some overall big takeaways as we kind of zoom out from that game in Canton, Ohio. B-Train, we'll start with you. What you liked and maybe where the Cardinals need to go as far as progressing before the Raiders come to town.
The one thing that I liked were the first two drives of the offense. I thought they went down the field. They were very methodical and were able to get touchdowns. You want to get some kind of points, but for them to get touchdowns and a two-point conversion, I thought Blaine Gabbert showed great poise and great confidence in himself and his ability to lead the team down the field. Obviously, the two touchdowns came via the run, but the two-point conversion I thought was a big step for him, and I really liked the way that Robert Kamdicha and some of the other guys really flashed across the table. And looking at that, the secondary is one thing, too, that I think that they're going to have to really improve on to make sure that this team is getting to where it needs to get here in 2017.
Well, speaking of the secondary, as we call an audible here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, the Cardinals just wrapped up their morning walkthrough, and joining us, making the climb up into the press box, is the Cardinals cornerback Justin Bethel, joining us here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report. Justin, how are you doing?
I am doing great. Y'all got a nice view up here. I've never been up here before. This is nice.
I'll tell you what, it's a lot safer up here than it is down on the field.
Oh, yeah.
You don't get hit.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, let me ask you, we were just talking about the Hall of Fame game. You did not play. The starters did not play, and also you were a little bit banged up. But what did you see from your teammates against the Dallas Cowboys?
I think we started off really strong. We showed a lot of flashes, but obviously, you know, we get that extra preseason game, and it kind of just gives us a gauge of where we kind of are at right now, and, you know, what we have in the young guys and what we have in guys that we brought in. And I think, like I said, I think we showed some flashes, but we definitely still got things to work on.
Speaking of things to work on, for you personally, what are some of your goals this preseason camp?
Pretty much to, you know, solidify my role as the starting cornerback, stay healthy, obviously, and, you know, go into these preseason games and kind of show everybody what I can do.
How you feeling, man? How's the body? Everything good with you?
Yeah, it's compared to last year, I'm 1,000 times better. Feeling really good, practicing fast. I'm not worried about any things. I'm doing a lot of things outside of practice to take care of my body, to make sure I'm healthy, make sure I'm ready to go for the game. So I'm feeling good, and I'm excited about practice today. So, yeah.
So do you see yourself being on the field for the preseason game Saturday against the Oakland Raiders?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'll be out there.
And with that, do you feel like you want to go out there and make any type of first impression, or do you just want to get your bearings, just want to get your feet wet, get back in the flow of playing in the game? You know, what's your game plan for that preseason game?
A little bit of both. You know, when you practice against your own teammates every day you get kind of used to, you know, the way they do things. So it'll be good for me to go out there and go play against somebody else and, you know, make sure everything I've been working on, I can still do it against other opponents and not just when I'm practicing against my teammates. So kind of get my feet wet and obviously being able to go out there and make plays.
No doubt.
Solidifying that number two cornerback spot opposite Patrick Peterson, where do you feel you are right now to kind of hold off the challengers, Brandon Williams? They brought in Tremont Williams. Yeah. I think they were already going to bring in a veteran, at least for depth. But how do you feel about that competition?
I think it's going good. Brandon, I think he played really well. He played really well last Thursday. You know, you're going to give up a play every now and then, but he did a great job bouncing back, you know, making some plays and getting that pick at right before the half. And Tremont, you know, he's a vet guy who's been in the league for a long time and has made a lot of plays. And so for me, I think that just, you know, further pushes me to go out there and just keep, you know, pushing forward every day, getting a little better every day. And like I said, at the end of the day, obviously I want to be the starter, but I think we're just going to – all three of us is going to go out there and work as hard as we can, and we want to see each other get better and better because at the end of the day, like I always say, the better we are as a group, the better we are all together.
Coincidence or just kind of happened that Tremont shows up and all of a sudden you're back on the practice field?
Oh, no, that was definitely – that was coincidence.
I figured as much, but sometimes guys need a little bit of a push. And,
no, that was coincidence.
You know, Justin, you keep talking about solidifying yourself at that – as that corner opposite Patrick. We know you want to do that, but what specifically do you see yourself doing or have to do to do that? I mean, it's pretty obvious in the reports and everything they keep talking about, we need that guy to play opposite Patrick. So what do you exactly, specifically need to do in this camp to be that guy?
Really, I think what they're looking for is consistency, and that's one thing with Pat that you know you're going to get, and that he's shown over the years, just being a consistent guy who can go out there and make plays. And you got to realize you're going to get probably 10 to 12 balls thrown at you a game because they're not going to want to throw it to Pat. So being able to minimize gains on their end, and you know, making plays when you need to.
Justin, when you look at the practice schedule, you know, BA was very deliberate and about making you guys practice early, considering that the first two games you're going to be on the road, you're going to have early starts. The practice out there, a little hot out there, huh?
Oh,
a little hot.
Yeah.
How was that different from being indoors? Obviously, you know, we've heard Camp Cupcake and all that kind of stuff, but how did it make you guys adjust your game, and is that going to be something that benefits you guys once you get to the regular season?
I think for sure. Like, I think that's one thing BA was saying, that last year, you know, a lot of the games we were playing on the East Coast, those early games, we didn't show up to the games when the game started. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to help everybody, you know, find a way and find out what they need to do to get themselves ready for the game, so that when the whistle blows, everybody's 100%. And it's not like, okay, halftime, okay, now we're ready, and by then it's too late. I think it's something that's going to pay off for us. And he said it's something that we'll probably end up doing during the season too. So I think it'll be good for us.
Oh, okay.
Justin Bethel joining us here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report. Craig Reel, Leroy Green, and Bertram Berry on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network. I want to go back to last season and the way the last season ended for you, starting those final two games at Seattle, at L.A., and the pick six against the Rams. I don't know if you believe in momentum, but how much, if any, confidence on how you finished 2016 and then having an offseason where you weren't asked about injuries. We asked you about it, but it was on the reverse because you didn't have any to worry about or rehab. And then from the offseason and now to where you are right now.
I'd say I had it. I'd take it as like momentum. It definitely showed me that, okay, hey, I'm healthy. I'm getting back healthy. And when I'm healthy, it kind of showed me, okay, when you're healthy, you can go out there and play and do whatever you need to do and play with the best of them. And then, you know, going into this offseason, not worrying about injuries or anything like that. Now I can focus on working out and, you know, working on technique and things like that. That's going to get me better at the position, which was something I wasn't able to do last year.
My question for you, Justin, is, you know, you obviously made your niche. You first came on as an outstanding special teams player. And last year we suffered in that particular area, in my opinion. What is going on in this preseason? You know, what do you see that's different as far as special team preparation? Will you be involved in special teams if you're the starting cornerback? How do you see that progressing?
I think we brought in a lot of young guys who can step up in special teams, and we're going to find some guys who are able to do that. And I think special teams I'll always have some kind of role on it at some point. Obviously, I've done so much in that area that it's kind of hard to not have me on anything. So I definitely think I'll be out there, especially if it's a down or something where we really need it. I think I'll definitely be out there. But I think we brought in some really good guys who can step up and make some plays.
Justin, I'll take you back to 2008. I was in the midst of a contract restructuring, i.e. taking a pay cut. For all those that don't know, contract restructuring means you're going to take a pay cut. I bet on myself. Mm-hmm. We went to a Super Bowl. Things worked out.
Yeah.
this past offseason, you had the contract restructuring. Mm-hmm. You're betting on yourself. Yeah. Does that give you any extra motivation, any extra incentive to go out there and perform on a day-in and day-out basis? And are you looking to make sure that you put yourself in the best position possible so that when the time comes, you can reap the benefits of you betting on yourself in 2017?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, when something like that, when you take a contract restructuring.
Yeah. However you want to say it. Yeah,
when that happens, you definitely want to go out there and show that, hey, I can go out here and do – I can be one of the best. I can do this and do that. And when that time comes, like you said, put myself in the best position to go out there and reap the benefits from everything that I've done.
Mm-hmm. Guys have taken pay cuts. Mm-hmm. But it's another thing to when you say, okay, if I do, then I want to be a free agent. And you knocked off a complete year off your deal that the Cardinals gave you. I mean, was that something that you and your agent discussed, or how difficult of a conversation, if at all, was that?
I was talking to my agent. That was something that they felt that would probably be best just because of how everything played out. They figured, they was like, you know, if you do this, go ahead and, you know, just like you said, bet on yourself. And they asked me, they're like, do you want to, you know, keep that last year, or do you think you want to just end it? And they were like, they would prefer me to kind of, you know, just let it play out. So that's kind of what we ended up doing, and I'm excited about this year. I'm excited to be healthy and able to get the chance to go out there and make plays.
I know that we lost a lot on defense this last year via free agency. Mm-hmm. What in this training camp, what young guys are standing out, or what is different on this defense that you think is going to make this defense still play at the great level that we've become accustomed to?
I think we brought in a lot of really great, Buddha's been doing, he's been doing really good. He's out there playing really aggressive, making a lot of plays. Ironhead, he's out there making plays. Rudy, he's out there making, a lot of the young guys we got out there, they're learning the plays, but they're playing fast and they're going out there and making plays. Brandon's still a young guy, but he's coming along really well. He's out there making a lot of plays. So I think, and even on the D-line and everything, and the linebacker, every position we brought, they did a great job bringing in people who are going to be able to impact the team now. And you can, when you watch practice, when you watch the preseason game, you can see those guys kind of flourishing and going out there and making plays.
Last question here for Justin Bethel. I've got to ask about the House of Bethel. And music, and whether that's just an off-season or how's it going, and then whether you're able to kind of do it just to kind of get your mind right here once football season starts.
Oh, so, yeah, the House of Bethel thing was something that my family, me and my brothers always kind of wanted to do. And in the offseason, we had time to do it. And it's more, I'm just part of it just because I have a bigger name than them. It kind of always comes back like, hey, it's your thing. But I won't say it's our thing. And it's more so my little brother's thing, because he's the one, he wrote a lot of the music. He composed all of that stuff and got most of it together. I just was on there and playing the drums. It's not really my thing. It's more, he does more of the in and out stuff with it. So obviously me being on it, people attend like, oh, this is your thing. Like, you came up. It's like, nah, you know, it's my brother's thing. But I definitely, I check in on him, make sure everything's going good. And it was a fun thing to do, and I'm excited to see, you know, what he comes up with, you know, next for us to do.
Yeah, the video was outstanding. Yeah. So that was released this offseason. So yeah. Kudos to you on that.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, that was smooth, brother. You know, I need my copy. You know what I'm just saying, I need that copy.
Justin, we appreciate a couple of minutes. I know it's always busy in training camp, but appreciate you coming upstairs and giving us a couple of minutes here.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me.
That is Cardinals cornerback Justin Bethel here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report. On the other side, we'll talk more about the Hall of Fame game and what we might expect here. Coming up this weekend on Saturday when the Oakland Raiders visit University of Phoenix Stadium. Alongside Roy Green and Bertrand Berry, I'm Craig Riolu. It's the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
First and 15 on the 34. Mannion throws far side and juggled and picked off by Bethel. He's going to take it back at the 40, at the 30, at the 20, the 10, the 5. Touchdown, Cardinals, on the pick six by Bethel.
Justin Bethel jumped all over that out route to the house, baby.
Also had a fumble recovery in that game against the LA Rams. The season finale last season. Justin Bethel, the pick six. Appreciate him coming up here into the press box at University of Phoenix Stadium after the morning walkthrough. Give us a couple of minutes here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report as we continue here, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. Craig Reel, Leroy Green, and Bertrand Berry as we kind of tie a bow and put that conversation to bed. Some great things from Justin. It is his job to lose right now, Roy, as far as that cornerback spot opposite Patrick Peterson. It's been something the Cardinals have been looking for a long, long time. But right now, again, as he said, as long as I stay healthy, I like where I stand.
Yeah, and it's all about, for me, and when it comes to Justin, it's all about his attitude and confidence. You know, there's no question that he can be an elite cornerback. I mean an elite cornerback in this league based on his abilities. They've always talked about, from ability standpoint, he's on par with Patrick Peterson. It's the reason that Steve Keim and the crew gave him the big contract before, because they see the potential, the ability. But he has to believe in himself as much as others around him. And I think that, as you had mentioned earlier, there was a big, big step those last couple games of the season where he made some plays and he saw how good he can be. And he's taken that confidence from last year into this camp. Obviously, being healthy allows him to be out there and improve each day. And I think this, for him, is going to be more about attitude and confidence than anything else.
And he's had a good camp thus far, before the injury and now after the injury, B-Train. But now it's going to be, as Coach Arians likes to say, I want to see it in the game.
Yeah, and that's all that matters. At this point, we know he's a tremendous athlete. We know that he has the potential, but he's put himself in a position where it's all about show me. Show me what you can do. If you're going to get it done, it's now or never. He put it all his chips in the middle of the table. He took the year off his deal. He said, look, I'm going to bet on myself. And I love that, because he's going to feel that heat. And if he's able to make good on it, he can not only redeem the reputation, but find himself being a very rich man.
Subscribe to Arizona Cardinals podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. Listen to your favorite shows on the go, like Cardinals Underground, The Big Red Rage, and, of course, this show, the Cardinals Red Sea Report. Well, we know Justin Bethel has made his mark on special teams, a three-time Pro Bowler, a Pro Bowl alternate last season. Special teams looked very, very good and then suffered a devastating injury against the Dallas Cowboys. I'm talking about T.J. Logan. Kickoff returns, punt returns. He had solidified his spot on this team as the Cardinals kickoff returner and punt returner in the eyes of head coach Bruce Arians. However, he left that game with a wrist injury, and Arians revealing the extent of the damage.
TJ had dislocated a wrist. Doing surgery looks like 12 weeks. So around week 8, he's possible for return.
Kickoff right to left. T.J. Logan about 7 yards deep. Will field it there and run it out straight ahead. Pass the 5 to the 10 to the 15. Runs left to the 20. A crease at the 30. Up to the 35 and dumped at the 37-yard line.
That's a blow to him, you know. He was just about to make a nice roll for himself. He obviously looked electric on the kick returns and the punt returns. So some of us just have to step up and do it.
Couple of kickoff returns for 71 yards, one punt return for 10 yards. T.J. Logan, though, going to be placed on injured reserve and potentially could be back midway through the season. So the Cardinals now, Roy, are going back to the beginning, back to square one. But you hate to see it for a young kid, and we're talking about a fifth-round draft pick who, after one game, had made the team.
Well, yeah, you know, it goes back to, you know, this particular staff, the scouts. They knew that they were looking for a specific guy to fill his role based on what had all happened last year. They identified that guy, brought him in. And a lot of times you identify a guy, you bring him in, and he's not that guy. But, you know, from the beginning of camp, we knew it was the right choice. The opening kickoff in the preseason game even solidified that fact. Now, we had a long punt return that got called back. I mean, this guy is dynamic. He's electric. Also, when he stepped in at the running back position on the pass, he had a great pickup on a blitz. So he's a football player, a very good football player, one that could definitely help this football team. It's a shame that that he's injured and is going to be gone for that amount of time. But I think that he has already proven that he can play at this level in this league, and we want him to definitely hurry back.
More on what Logan did to impress the Cardinals from general manager Steve Keim on with Doug and Wolf earlier this week on 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
I feel like that jinxed us because about halfway through the game, I looked over at Michael Bidwell and told him we finally have our punt and kick returner because the things that he showed, his fearless approach to catching the football in traffic, his foot speed, his acceleration, the burst that you saw, gave me the feel that he could be very, very explosive in the return game.
A year ago, B-Train, four different players returned kickoffs. Three different players returned punts, and the Cardinals, at least right now, are going to look at Kerwin Williams first, then Chad Williams, and then possibly Rudy Ford, those last two rookies. But Kerwin Williams right now is going to be the first guy up as far as trying to get that job on both kickoff and punts.
He makes the most sense because of the three, he's probably going to be the one that has the best chance to dress on Sundays. And you look at Chad Williams, will they be available? Will they be guys that you can count on in other areas? Will they be part of the game plan when you start talking about offense? And Rudy Ford, will he be part of the defense? And if those guys aren't going to be part of that, they're not likely to dress. And so when I look at Kerwin Williams, he's a guy that has been used to carrying the ball. He's used to doing things with the ball in his hands and following blocking. And so I think he is a logical guy to replace the young man. And I just think for him, we saw last year when he's given his opportunities in Kerwin Williams, he makes the most of them. And the more opportunities that he gets, I think the more production that you'll see.
Back in 2015, Kerwin Williams returned kicks for the Cardinals, averaged almost 16 yards return, has no punt return experience on the professional level, did do it in college at Utah State. Coach Arians also throws out John Brown when healthy, if healthy, is dealing with a quad issue right now, and then J.J. Nelson, but they would prefer not to use him. He's got experience as well. But that's an element of the game, the return game, Roy, that it's struggled over the past couple of years with the Cardinals, but if you can get that field position, especially on kickoffs, to where you're starting beyond the 25, maybe 30, 35-yard line, it just makes it so much easier for your offense.
It's a huge, huge advantage to have good special teams, and particularly a return team. As you say, it shortens the field for the offense. You know, it changes field position for the opposition. It's very, very important. And to tag along with what B-Train says, you know, based on the guys that we have, Kerwin is the perfect fit to be that return guy. Now, I would like to see occasionally a John mixed in on the punt returns because he's shown last year and the year before he can be quite explosive and dynamic, but because of his stature and frame, you don't want to get a whole lot of those. And J.J. is a guy that maybe on kickoff returns where he has a chance, it's an easier catch, you know, and speed is sublime. But as far as the punt returns, I think that he would probably be a little questionable in my mind every time he stood back there. I think it would be some hearts fluttering, wondering about, you know, how, are we going to complete this possession? So I think the Kerwin is a great, great choice. Special teams, we all saw last year, realize how important they can be. And it's great to see a lot of emphasis placed upon it throughout this training camp, throughout this offseason, obviously. But to see all the emphasis placed upon special teams makes me feel really good.
And the most important aspect of that role, make sure you catch the ball. Mm. Secure the ball in your arms. Halfway through the Cardinals Red Sea report, on the other side, we'll delve back into that Hall of Fame game and the positives both offensively and defensively in the Cardinals game against the Cowboys. It's the Cardinals Red Sea report presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Nice play on a pass to the near side, batted down by Buda Baker, looking like a cornerback on that play, stepping in front of the wide receiver.
Boy, there's some coaches on the Cardinals sideline right now high-fiving. I will promise you that. Buda Baker is a guy that they know he can play safety. He's got great instincts, and yet they love him as a nickel corner, a guy who can line up in the slot, and you just saw his ball skills right there make a play on the ball.
Six tackles, one quarterback hit, one pass defensed. Buda Baker in his preseason debut, his NFL debut in the preseason, the Hall of Fame game against the Dallas Cowboys late last week. He looked very, very good as we talk about what we saw in the Cardinals-Cowboys contest last Thursday here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. Craig Riolu, Bertram Berry, and Roy Green here from University of Phoenix Stadium, where the Cardinals are holding training camp once again. Since it's defense, B-Tran, I'll turn to you as far as Buda Baker playing that safety position. And then, as you heard on the play call, Ron Wolfley mentioning his coverage skills. And keep in mind, yes, he's a rookie, but he's a rookie who was gone all offseason because of the NFL rule that you cannot practice with your team if your school's still in session, and it was still for Washington. So he kind of was out there by himself looking at the playbook, on the phone with the coaches, Skyping, and doing whatever he can, but he could not be physically with the team until later. So I think he is someone that has come along fast, but still has some ways to go, but at least it's a positive first step.
Definitely a positive first step, and that's the type of impression that you want to make the first time out there on the field when you are flashing across the screen. That's what they brought you in for. That's why you were the second-round pick. That's why they thought you were one of the top players in the entire draft, and they felt like they stole you in the second round, and he's making good on all of that. And, of course, he was set back by not having the opportunity to be around his team. I think had that not been the case, he may be pushing for a starting role right now, and I think to have two safeties that are similar in their style and their productivity. You see a Tyrann Mathieu, you see a Buda Baker. I think it gives James Betcher a lot of different options going into the season, knowing that the young man has shown that he can retain the knowledge and in a short period of time. And they're going to bring him along slowly, as you said. But I think as the season goes on and he shows more ability to make the plays, he's going to be given much more responsibility. And I think that's a good thing overall.
First time putting on a Cardinals uniform. Here's Baker on what he learned in his first game action.
I learned, you know, there's a lot bigger guys. Mm-hmm. You need to wrap up and all that type of stuff. And also it's just, you know, a little faster. For me, though, I'm just trying to take it day by day and just act like each practice is a game.
And that's the big thing, Roy, is that first step on the football field, realizing that, there is a big difference between the college game and the NFL game. But what have you seen so far out of Baker, whether in practice or against the Cowboys?
Well, you know what? He's as advertised. Coming out of college and prior to the draft, everyone talked about he's a football-first guy. And he's proven to be that by, just as we just mentioned, his dedication to getting as much knowledge as he could even prior to getting here. And on the football field every day, you know, you see him. He's constant working, trying to improve. And on the preseason game, you know, as we just said, he showed flashes. You could see him. His name was called. This is what you want from one of your guys that you're expecting a lot of. You want to see him around the ball a lot, to making tackles, making plays. But what was also impressive for me is that, his coverage skills. You know, just the two times that I saw him covering, I mean, he looked as if he was very explosive. He wasn't fearful. He seemed very confident in his ability. And he's a guy that, as B-Train just mentioned, maybe you can line him up on the slot. You can bring him off the slot on blitzes. He can drop back in coverage and cover some of those third and fourth wide receivers. So he's going to be an added bonus. As I said, he's as advertised. He's a great, great pick, almost a steal from this point from what we've seen in the second round.
He flashed in the Hall of Fame game. Well, let's switch it over to the offense, and I'll turn to you, Roy, as the former wide receiver. Blaine Gabbert was the highlight offensively, with apologies to Kerwin Williams and Andre Ellington as far as scoring the touchdowns, but it was Gabbert who completed his first eight passes, went 11 of 14, 185 yards, sacked twice, but did not turn the ball over, playing the entire first quarter before giving way to Trevor Knight, or I should say the entire first half. Here's a guy, we know his background, a former first-round pick, struggled in Jacksonville and San Francisco, but here he has been given an opportunity. And you mentioned, as advertised with Buda Baker, this Blaine Gabbert showed you something.
Well, you know what? It was no surprise for me, because I had an opportunity when he first came out of Mizzou. I had an opportunity to work with, well, not work specifically with the quarterbacks, but he worked with my receivers. And I saw the skill set. It's not surprising that he hasn't had much success since then, because, as we said, he's had seven different offensive philosophies, people talking in his ear. And he comes here in this perfect situation during the offseason. He has Tom Moore. He has Coach Arians, great offensive minds, and he has a quarterback coach who played in the league in this level who knows this offense and Byron Leftwich. So he's very, very comfortable in what he's doing. He understands it now. He's getting the same language in his head every day from three different guys, so it confirms what he's doing. And now he can just go out there and let his skill set take over. And I think that's what we saw during the preseason game against the Cowboys.
What did Coach Arians see out of Blaine Gabbert?
When you play good, you play good. I don't care who it's against. I don't think it mattered who was out there. He was throwing to the right guys, and those were big-time throws.
Gabbert is in shotgun, has the football, drops back to throw at time, fires middle of the field. It's caught by Golden at the 30-yard line, running near side of the 20.
His accuracy was outstanding because those balls over the middle were not his first, they were not primary receivers. It was a really good throw to Britt with tight coverage. Just his overall poise, and the only negative play was that third down play.
Had another nice play to Troy Nicholas down the middle of the field as well. The quarterback breakdown, B-Train, for this preseason game against the Oakland Raiders. Carson Palmer will start, be on the field for about, well, the starters will be on the field for about 15 plays. We'll see how much Palmer actually sees the field. But then Drew Stanton will get the second quarter, his preseason debut, and then Blaine Gabbert, according to Coach Arians, will play the entire second half. So for Gabbert specifically, it's about building on that first half against the Cowboys. Okay, what can you do the second half against the Raiders?
Yeah, and I really believe that you start talking about a quarterback battle. I don't think there's a real battle right now. I think Drew Stanton is firmly entrenched as the number two, and he hasn't done anything in practice, and he hadn't played in the game to make anybody think otherwise. Now, when you get into a game like we will Saturday, where both guys are going to get the play, then you can start to critique. You can start to see what's the difference between these two. Now, granted, they won't have the same type of players. Drew Stanton will have a little bit better player to work with than Blaine Gabbert. But as Coach B.A. said, hey, it's not about who you're out there with. You're still making the right reads. You're still making the right decisions. And if he's able to make right decisions, and I think if he goes above and beyond what Drew does and Drew falls flat on his face, then you may have somewhat of a discussion. But right now, I think with the history that Drew Stanton has with BA, the fact that he hasn't had an opportunity to make a case for his own out there on the field when it mattered the most, I still think you have to pump the brakes a little bit. And I don't think that there's a quarterback position battle right now. I still think it's Drew Stanton 3 and Blaine Gabbert, or Drew Stanton at 2 and Blaine Gabbert at 3.
You said something there, though, B-Train, making the right decisions, because we all get caught up in stats, completions. Well, they're drops, but if I'm supposed to throw at a certain point and I make that correct decision, but my wide receiver's not there, then all of a sudden it falls back on me as a quarterback and it looks bad, and it really wasn't my fault. So I think that's something also, if you're at the game or watching the game or listening to the game here on Arizona Cardinals Radio Network, pay attention to that as far as right decisions. Are the quarterbacks making the right reads? Arizona Cardinals single game tickets are on sale now. Visit Ticketmaster.com or the Cardinals box office to select your seats. We close it up next, talking about the Hall of Fame and Kurt Warner and his rightful spot in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's up next here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Kurt Warner with an absolutely perfect pass right onto money.
Old Graybeard looks sharp, doesn't he?
Is Kurt Warner sick or what?
Oh, Kurt, you have to be kidding me right there.
Great throw by Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner using the kung fu grip. You want to talk about cool as a cucumber in the refrigerator.
The gloved one leading them down the field again.
Wow, Kurt Warner isn't in the zone. He is the zone. Kurt Warner could throw a Twinkie into a toaster. I mean, this guy is on fire.
It's amazing that there are some out there that still think Kurt Warner's not going to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think there's any way he is not in the Hall of Fame.
Give him that gold jacket they get when they go to the Hall of Fame.
Former Cardinals quarterback Kurt Warner, where he should be. In Canton, Ohio, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the induction ceremony on Saturday night following the Hall of Fame game on Thursday. Just a wonderful weekend, not only for Kurt Warner, but for all of the inductees. A seven-person class inducted here in 2017. And he had a great start to his career, B-Train, in St. Louis. And without the Cardinals, he is not a Hall of Famer because he put the Cardinals in a position to where they had never been before, and you were a part of that team and taking them to the Super Bowl and falling a little bit short. But I think we are all in agreement here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report that, yes, Kurt Warner is a Hall of Famer. But for you personally, what did it mean for you to see him, one of your teammates, a guy that you didn't line up next to because he played offense, you played defense, but being a teammate and seeing one of your own being inducted?
There's a sense of pride because you know on some level you helped him get there. The fact that it's a team game and we got to the Super Bowl, it wasn't just Kurt, and he was quick to say that in his speech. I felt a lot of pride. I mean, I almost got emotional seeing him there because I know Kurt. I've had the opportunity and the pleasure to talk with him on one-on-one on so many different occasions and got to know Kurt the person, not just the football player, not just the teammate, but the person. And he's a Hall of Fame guy, just like a Hall of Fame player. And you know some guys, nobody can have a bad thing to say about him, and their story is so good. And for Kurt, with everything that's going on with him and his career alone and in his life, you root for guys like that. And for him to get that just due, I thought it was a great, great moment. And I was just so proud to call him a friend, a teammate, and it was a special moment. I felt like I went into the Hall of Fame with Kurt on Saturday.
His story is incredible, not only on how he was able to reach the NFL, but then stay in the NFL, going through the Giants and then before landing with the Cardinals, where he wound up his career and has his name where, Roy, you have your name in here, the Cardinals Ring of Honor here at University of Phoenix Stadium. What did you see during his speech or just the entire 4 or 5 days in Canton, Ohio?
Well, you know what? Like most, if you had an opportunity to be around Kurt, you know, to see him from afar, really what he had to say, you know, you're more sitting up there. I'm looking at him just thinking about his story. You know, the words, I kind of got lost because every time I see him, I think about his amazing story from where he came from, how he persevered, how with every opportunity he got, he made the best of it. Not just, you know, casually, you know, made it work. I mean, he made the best of it, taking two different franchises to the Super Bowl. And what he's done for football in this state, because that year with B-Train and the rest of the guys, I mean, that galvanized this area. I mean, from that point now, our expectations have been different since that particular time, even to now. And, you know, our Cardinal fans, we walk with pride where we go now. And I think it all started during that particular era. But Kurt, as B-Train said, what a great, great guy. Anytime you're around him, I mean, you just – is he real? I mean, could he really be this great of a guy? And you see it, guys that never even met him, people that never met him, fans. Mm-hmm. That's why they love him so, because you can see the honesty. You can see the maturity. You can see the commitment that he always speaks about. So for me to see him up there, you know, I kind of didn't – well, kind of. I really didn't hear the speech much. I was just thinking about his story and him and how he is throughout the entire speech.
Well, let's take you back to Saturday and hear from the man himself, Kurt Warner.
You know, moments matter. They leave their impression upon us. They shape how we live our lives, and they impact who we become. They also offer us something possibly more valuable: the opportunity to leave a lasting mark on the world around us. And I came here tonight to say thank you to all of those who crossed my path and didn't miss their moment to mark on me. It made all the difference.
He did not mention a lot of names. In fact, I think the only player that he really, really mentioned was Trent Green, mm-hmm. former Rams quarterback. It was his injury that opened up the door for Kurt Warner, but there were several of his former teammates in attendance, including Larry Fitzgerald. He was not at practice on Saturday. The Cardinals allowed him, along with Michael Bidwell and Adrian Wilson. They were in Canton, Ohio, seated watching Kurt Warner receive his Hall of Fame jacket and be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Fitz back at practice on Sunday and spoke of being there in attendance watching his good friend be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
It was great to be there and be able to support a good friend and mentor. You know, the overall experience was top five I've ever had. You know, be able to rub shoulders with the likes of Dan Marino and John Elway and Jerry Rice and Tim Brown. I mean, just, you know, it was special.
Of course, Roy, it's only a matter of time before number 11 is in Canton, Ohio. Probably, what, 8 years from now?
Let's hope.
9 years from now?
There you go.
I like the way you think, brother.
I love the way you think. But it's no question that he's a guy that's going to be in there. You know, I was listening to B-Train earlier today, and there was a debate about receivers going in, you know, the first time around. And I don't think you can debate what Pitts has done, what he's meant to football, how he's carried himself, his numbers, that he's a guy that whenever it is, 3 years from now, hopefully, that 5 years after that, that he's a guy that goes in the first ballot.
Yeah, his numbers speak for themselves. That's going to wrap up this edition of the Cardinals Red Sea Report. Special thanks to our senior broadcast manager and producer, Jim Omohundro, technical director, Andy Greenberg, and studio coordinator, Tiffany Omohundro, and back here with us, our engineer, Tom Kiernan. For Bertram Berry, Roy Green, I'm Craig Riolu. Again, Cardinals and Raiders coming up this Saturday at University of Phoenix Stadium. It will be a 7 p.m. kickoff. That means 3:30 pregame here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network. And then we'll be back next Tuesday to break it all down here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report. It's presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. Enjoy your week here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
You've been listening to the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you.
Great interception by the Badger. Tyrann Mathieu stepped in front.
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown! John Brown!
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.